This is Hard Parking, brought to you by Wright Honda and Wright Toyota out of Scottsdale, Arizona. You're actually going to see them this weekend if you're at NS Expo, because NS Expo is right around the corner, October 12th through the 16th. Looking forward to it. You know, it's one of the two events that I look forward to every year. Oh, by the way, I am your host, Jay Finning. It's one of the two premier car events for me personally that I look forward to every year. I look forward to going to Quail, and I look forward to NS Expo. And I think I talked about it last year, but to me, NS Expo is kind of like a family reunion. And it's hard for people to understand that, number one, have NSXs but have never gone, or people who just aren't into cars at all, because it's like, what do you guys do all weekend? You sit there and talk about your cars? No, actually, we do not. Because you talk about your cars online. You talk about your cars on Facebook, on Instagram, on the old school forums. But when you come together for the social event that is NS Expo, your cars are all parked together, which is always super freaking cool. But you get to put a name to the face, or you get to see someone again, and you get to finally have that drink that you promised someone that you lost a bet to, or catch up with people you haven't seen in years, because like this event moves around the country. This is the first time it's been in Phoenix since 2005, and it's cool that I'm a part of, you know, not only the planning committee, but I am the acting vice president. Wow, what do I mean by acting? Well, there was some turnover and I was asked to become, you know, vice president of the NSX Club of America, which happened 4 or 5 months ago, and then I accepted it. And I'll be in that role till at least the end of, I think, 23. But it's, you know, it's really special. It's built on relationships, and everything we do in life is built on relationships. And I've said this before, you meet people through work, through hobby, through school. Those are really the three ways you meet people. You can randomly meet somebody when you're traveling at the airport, but most people in your life, they're outside of family, because family can't count, right? Because it's family. Outside of your life, everyone you've ever met that has any level of significance to you, you've met probably one of those three ways: work, hobby, and school. Richard Graves, friend and supporter of the show, will join us in a little bit to talk a little bit about NS Expo, because he is on his way. He will be here, he and his lovely wife, Liz. We're also going to be joined by Mr. Charles Hicks of 21st Century Car Show up in Prescott. Before we get to this word from 4Wheel Online, Aaron Forrester sent me. So Aaron's been on here before, but he likes to send me articles and things every once in a while. And there's this video that's kind of gone viral where a police officer tells the owner of a Hyundai Elantra in owner, well, you listen to it and we'll talk about this.
Hey officer, how you doing?
Doing okay. Hey, what year is this vehicle?
22.
Why is it backfiring?
It's
making noise.
I know, it's how it comes stock.
Really?
Yeah, you can check under the hood if you'd like.
Oh no, I'll just send you to the state rep, and what they'll do is send you back to the factory to
uh-huh.
have whatever. Is it in track mode?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so what they're going to do here, let me have your license. So what happens is I send you to the state ref.
Uh-huh.
All right, state ref, we're here in California. They're going to suspend your registration.
Okay.
You can't drive the car. You got to go take it to the state ref. They're going to look at it. They're going to send you back to the dealer. The dealer has to remove the track ops that you have to pay for. It's about $4,000. Once that's been done, you go back to the state ref to verify all the track modes have been removed. You cannot drive this on the road with the track mode.
Oh, I can't?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Well, you
officer.
Won't be able to anymore. You've just lost this. You're going to spend about $7,000 on this car right now. Go ahead and get me the registration. I don't need to look under the hood.
Okay.
You can't. Track, rally motor, illegal on the road.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Well, it's your money, not mine.
Right, right.
They tell you this at the dealer. If not, you could sue the dealer for the money. Tell them
okay.
you want your $4,000 or $5,000 back.
Sure, sure. Yeah, they didn't tell me that.
No, I'm sure they did. They're required by law.
Oh, is that
you
so?
You cannot operate track mode on the road.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they didn't tell me that.
Well,
so.
Then I would sue them, all right, for this ticket.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Get the insurance.
Sure.
So a couple things there. Now, the officer, and there's people, I mean, because people hate police. And in my opinion, that officer was oddly a little weird and aggressive about the whole situation. But a couple takeaways here. Number one is California. Everybody knows that California is crazy. They're crazy stringent on all their laws, especially towards motor vehicles and noise. There are some, in fact, they're talking about experimenting installing these noise sensors in certain areas, certain cities, that'll automatically give you a ticket if your car is too loud. Now, how do they find out which car it is? Who knows? That in itself is a challenge. That's California for you. But in this instance, you know, I understand that people get upset because the police officer is telling the guy, okay, here's how much money it's going to cost you. here's what you have to do to fix it. It's your money. It's your fault. You should know better. Not necessary. Say, okay, guy, you're not supposed to have this. Here's a ticket for your noise ordinance. Have a good day. If the guy wants to fight it, he could fight it. So a lot of opinion is, okay, this Hyundai, a Hyundai Elantra N. Okay, first off, it's a Hyundai fucking Elantra. A Hyundai Elantra. I looked up a Hyundai Elantra N. I think it's ugly. But apparently it has a performance package. A lot of people defending say this guy got screwed because he has a stock exhaust. It came that way. Yes, it comes that way. But here's the thing. And this is where I fault the driver. You know better. You know you can't drive around in track mode. Every manufacturer, every dealer tells you that. He's playing stupid. No one's that stupid. People like to drive around in track mode because it makes the car louder, more throaty. It also gives it a little edge performance, but it's made for the track. It opens up the exhaust. It opens up the little silencers that come built in. And a lot of cars have this. It's like just normal cars. You get into like a Dodge Charger. You get into a Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger, you hit that little button that says sport mode, you can hear that exhaust go from kind of quiet to just grumbly loud and drony. I used to think these people were driving past me on the road and just revving at me all the time. And then I realized once I started renting these vehicles, that's just how the vehicle is. Sometimes it's so bad, it's freaking annoying just to drive a car like that. But in this case, I call bullshit. The Hyundai Elantra N knew he was in track mode. He knew that it made a lot of noise and he got pulled over and got a ticket for it because you could take it out of it. My NSX, when I go from silent mode to sport mode and then to sport plus mode, it gets louder. Now you can say, well, the NSX is weak. It doesn't make any noises. It does, especially from when in the cabin and you can feel it pull the car along. And as far as his exhaust go and snap, crackle, pop, it's believable. I don't know about a Hyundai Elantra N, but apparently it did because the cop pulled him over. But I used to rent the Camaro 2SS. That's one of my favorite Camaro rental cars ever is a Camaro 2SS. And that's 450 horsepower. Put it in sport mode. I had it in Texas a few times and I would floor it. And just that sound of that V8 just screaming, and then you take your foot off the gas and just let it coast on its own. And then exhaust is pop, pop, pop. It crackle, pop, 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 pop. It kind of does that little thing because the air fuel mixture is different because you're in a different mode. You're in a track mode. So that's bullshit. But what do you guys think? Hardparkingpodcast@gmail.com. Was the cop being kind of a little aggressive? I think we can all agree with that. Should the driver have known better? Of course he should have. And he had someone in the car, probably his girlfriend. Smug. Smug. Coming up, 4Wheel Online and the rest of this show. Jay Finning here, and I want to tell you guys about 4Wheel Online. For over a decade, 4Wheel Online has been bringing the best truck accessories and truck parts to enhance the appearance and performance of all trucks and SUVs. They are dedicated to providing an extensive range of upgrades that will match any maker model on the road. Their truck products cover everything you need to give your truck a custom look and added functionality. And if you need a tire and wheel package, head over and use a configuration tool. They carry all the major brands of wheels and tires, so we'll get outfitted today. So visit them online at 4Wheel Online or call them at 813-769-2451. Again, that's 4Wheel Online, the number 4Wheel Online. So a Hertz customer was accused of stealing a rental car despite booking and paying for the vehicle in an incident that has led her to being arrested a total of 4 times and being held in custody for days at a time, according to a lawsuit filed by Antoinette Hill. She used her status as a platinum member to use the Hertz Gold Club loyalty program. Platinum member of what? Hertz doesn't have platinum, and gold is entry level. I should know. I used to travel. I missed my president's circle, by the way. They had good cars, especially when I went to Boise. They had the best cars. Boise, Idaho, Hertz, always brand new vehicles. Anyway, so it looks like this all happened back in 2018. So while this isn't new, it's a story now, so I'm not quite sure why it took 4 years. Oh, here we go. It says Hill was arrested at least 3 more times between 2019 and 2021 for failure to appear in court over the incident because she was not notified by the court dates. According to the lawsuit, spent about 9 days in jail on each occasion. Her case is still pending. Hertz has declined to dismiss the case. So I feel like there's more to this. This was sent to me via Instagram by a listener. He says it's been happening for years. In this case, it seems like it's been happening to her for years, but I'm not quite sure if this is an issue with Hertz. You think you would hear about this if it was like an issue within the Hertz system. So I'm curious what the actual details of this are. It sounds embarrassing. Sounds expensive. Sounds annoying. But if you guys ever hear anything about it, woman suing Hertz after being accused of stealing a rental car, let me know. Moving on. The Ford Lightning is in a little bit of hot water. So according to Motor Trend, Edmunds, and multiple other sources, the Ford F-150 Lightning has struggled in everyone's towing test. Now, they're putting it up against a diesel, which is king, and traditional fueled vehicles. And then you have the EV, and that's kind of one of the things that people always wondered, right? Right. You know, toward this electrification movement, we're demanding that the consumers not be able to buy cars in 13 years from now, unless they're full EV, but nobody from a government standpoint is responsible for making that grid happen. So what's going to happen? Because I was listening to CarCast, listening to, you know, Matt the Motivator, DeAndrea, and Adam Carolla talk about this exact issue, because Matt has a Platinum Edition F-150, which is the total decked out version. And more on that in a little bit, but Matt brought the good point that unless Shell, Mobil, and Chevron, these big companies, offer their franchisee owners something to incentivize them to go electric, they don't really, those big companies like that don't actually own the gas stations. They're all franchises. It's like if McDonald's wants to all of a sudden sell spaghetti, to take a Mitch Hedberg reference. He said, I'm going to have a McDonald's and I'm going to sell blankets and spaghetti. Well, there's things that he has to sell, but if he wants to sell spaghetti at his restaurant, you know, maybe McDonald's can't necessarily make him do it. Or if they're offering spaghetti, maybe they don't have it at his restaurant. And so we have these charging stations. Like, the only company that has all these charging stations is Tesla. In this report, though, so if you use the Ford grid and it says, okay, there's five charging stations near you, the first three you go to are out of order. So that therein lies a huge problem as well. So one of the things with this is it wasn't just the fact that the Ford F-150 Lightning couldn't tow a heavy payload nearly as far as some of the other traditional ones, but once you get somewhere where you need more juice, you have to unhook the trailer, camper, whatever, go to the charge station, because none of them are set up to allow both giant things to sit there in front of a charge station, try to plug it in just to find out it doesn't work. Then you go back to the trailer, you hook the trailer up, and you drive further down the road and find another charging station. Now, could you leave the trailer where you unhooked it the first time? Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, that's beside the point. I think they did a 200 or 300 round, like a 300 mile loop in California, and the Lightning finished 4 hours later than anything else. 4 hours, because it either ran out of juice or they couldn't find a place to plug it in. But here's my thought. I think that this, whether it's 150, 200, 220 mile range, if you're in a city, that's plenty. If you're taking the boat to the lake, that's plenty. You're taking the boat, you're taking the camper up north, as long as north isn't far, for the weekend, you'll probably be fine if you can find a charge station. But where you won't be fine is taking a vehicle like this, or most vehicles, let's be honest, most vehicles across the country. I'm not sure I'd even drive a Tesla across the country. But I would rather drive a Tesla across the country, because I know there's Tesla charge stations at least every 100 miles. There's got to be I don't think you're going to go more than 300 miles anywhere in the United States without finding a Tesla charge station, as long as it's along a major highway, a major road, not some, you know, trail road or fire road off in the mountains. So we'll see how Ford fixes it. This is one of those things where it's cool to have a full EV, and I'm all about the EVs, but if you can't plug it up anywhere, then it becomes not practical. 2 years ago, I did a report out of California, and they said, what, 1 in 5 people who bought a Tesla have gone full EV have reverted back to internal combustion because of the hassle of getting a bigger charger for your house, if you have a house. Otherwise, you're in an apartment, otherwise you're in a condo. The price of gas versus the price of electric, at least in a place like California, you know, they were too similar, but the inconvenience factor was that difference. It's just easier to pull into a gas station, fill up, and go. So we have a big problem on our hands. I don't think we're going to make the 2035 mandate. until the entire infrastructure that's needed is in place. And I said that before. If you have to rely on charging your battery, this is never going to work. It's never going to work. It only works if you can pull up to a charge station, and the government decided 4 years before that, moving forward, there are four types of batteries, four types of common batteries. So in case you have some weird hypercar, there's four types of common batteries that every gas station must have. That's what's going to work. And you pull into the gas station and you pull out the blade, because now your battery's a big blade. You pull out the, well, you guys don't know what I'm talking about with a blade. Something with a handle, you just stick it in, kind of like a server blade with computers. You pull it out, you swap it in for a new one, you pay your money, and you move along. And then other people, it's a new industry, just like Amazon, right? 10 years ago, nobody was delivering packages with Amazon. It just wasn't really a thing. Now, there's trucks everywhere. We get 3, 4, 5 packages delivered a day sometimes. But it's an industry that didn't exist. So this electrification should produce another industry of a bunch of truck drivers, vans, something hauling batteries back and forth from the giant distribution center to these local gas stations on every corner, every other corner. Because without that, even if every Shell, Chevron, and Mobil had 4 charge stations, 6 charge stations, 10 charge stations, you ever go on a road trip, you pull into like a truck stop, so I bet you if you sat there for 10 minutes, you would easily count 50, 60, 70 cars going in and out of that. People coming in using the restroom, people coming in to get gas, people coming in to get food, people coming in to get gas, use the restroom and get food. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen until they come up with something that you can quickly disconnect from your vehicle, put something else in, and keep moving down the road. That's what I think. Speaking of EV, Honda has announced the 2024 Honda Prologue. This is their EV, and they project it's going to start at $45,000. Look it up. I think this thing looks really cool. I think it's really the next iteration of the Passport Pilot. I think it's really the replacement of the Pilot. It kind of looks like the current gen Pilot, just a little more futuristic, just a little more. The headlights, the running lights kind of remind me of the current gen Ford Explorer, because it's got the long blade on each side at the top. Certain shapes of the car kind of remind me of like a Volvo SUV, like the 90 that I love so much. It's a sharp looking vehicle. According to Drew Dorian of Car and Driver, and also Acura Poster, the Honda posted it on Instagram the other day, but, oh, hey, look, here we go. It will sit above the CR-V and the Honda lineup and is similar in dimensions to the midside Passport. I don't know. I still think it's going to be like I still think it's a Pilot. Like, what's the difference, right? So it says the 2024 Honda Prologue SUV, Honda's second attempt at an EV after the ill-fated Clarity sedan, appears to be on track. You guys remember the Clarity? We had Trista Polo on here. Was it Trista? Trisha. We had Trisha Polo on here. Trista Polo? Trista. Trisha? I screwed it up even then. But she has the podcast about license plates. But anyway, so she had a Clarity. So anyway, this time around, the company's efforts promise to be competitive thanks to a joint development agreement with General Motors. Some details are still hazy, such as the powertrain and driving range. But now that Honda has released official images, we can see Prologue styling and interior appointments and get a sense of its overall size. And that's where they kind of go, you know. It's where they said it's like between a Passport and a CR-V. The Prologue pictured sports 21-inch wheels, a panoramic sunroof, and simple LED lighting elements, which you can't see because this is a podcast. I like when people say, I watch your podcast. I watch you and Wes' podcast on Wednesday nights on One Drink Wednesday. It's like, that's not a podcast. You're watching an Instagram live session. It's not a podcast. It's not a podcast till you record it, you extract the audio, you clean it up, and you make it available on audio streaming networks. That's what a podcast is. You can't watch a podcast. You can watch a video of people recording while they're making a podcast. You can watch something that will eventually be released as a podcast an hour or two later or the next day. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong with that. I wasn't wrong 2 years ago, but maybe let's look at music before. And I'm going off a little bit here, but back in the 90s, it was all techno. Late 90s, you had techno and you had trance and you had house. Those were the three types of electronic music. techno, trance, and house. Go ahead and Google house music right now. Google the top 100 of anything. Now there's no such, I don't even know if techno is even a thing anymore, because there's, God, dozens, right? You music people, there's dozens of styles of electronic music. Now it's all electronic music. EMF, Electronic Music Festival. And when you go there, I've never been. When you go there, you're going to hear everything electronic music, whether it's vocals or just progressive trance, regular trance, hard trance, soft trance, and Juno Beats, Paul Oakenfold mixing. Anyway, I don't know. I encourage you guys to check out the Prologue SUV. And this has nothing to do with me being sponsored by Wright Honda and Wright Toyota. They don't give a shit. Probably don't even listen to the podcast. But I think this thing looks really nice. And it doesn't look so futuristic where you feel like it's not a thing. I feel like it's very much a thing. I feel like they probably already have these. They probably have one or two prototypes. Honda, they're sneaky like that. They probably exist. This probably exists somewhere. I bet you this is in Ohio somewhere. Especially if it's a 2024 model. Because remember when they announced the Acura Integra? That was Monterey Car Week of 2021. No one even heard it was coming. I didn't know it was coming. 3 weeks before they announced it. They're like, oh, what are these little teaser videos? It's the 2023 Acura Integra. I go, wait a minute, it's 2021 already. Yeah, it's coming out next year. What do you mean it's coming out next year? It's not a concept. This thing's pretty much ready. Sure as shit. I don't think they changed anything from the announcement in 21 to when it came out, you know, earlier this year in 22. And now I'm starting to see them on the road. So I think this Prologue is going to be out really fast, $45,000 and up, comes in multiple trims. I'm excited for it. Maybe I'll replace the FX50. Maybe I'll replace my Fat X with it. Maybe it'll be time. No, I'll still have the NSX paint. He is Richard Graves. He is Lap of the World. Richard, you and Liz are actually coming out here for NS Expo. As you do every year, you drive from point A to point Z. What's on the docket this time? And of course, by the time this comes out, you will have already be probably almost all the way here.
En route, point Knoxville to point Phoenix in this case.
Yeah, where will you be Monday morning?
Monday morning, let me think about that. Probably somewhere Texas, New Mexico-ish is my guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you'll be, well, there's a difference. Significant difference, as you know. How many miles are on your NSX now?
We just crossed 312. We're actually almost 313,000 on mine.
How much does Liz have? Because she just got within the last year, right?
Yeah, back in the spring. She's just shy of 150,000.
Running them up. So you guys are going to tandem drive?
Yeah. No, this will be the first time we'll be taking separate vehicles out to NS Expo. Typically, we're able to kind of, so it'll be a little bit of a different planning strategy here because we aren't able to switch drives and alternate naps, so to speak.
So you got a couple radios. Are they the Baofengs? Or are they something else?
No, these are just little Motorolas, little cheapos. But they're effective within like a few miles in line of sight. So figure if we get any more separated than that, then we're probably calling each other anyway. But we did a little bit of a test run with these on the way up to New York State for some upstate New York for a couple of track events up there, and it seemed to work pretty well. We typically hadn't used walkie-talkies before that, but I mean, I guess on the way to the expo, it hadn't been a need because we've been in the same car.
Sure, but which would be super odd. Plus the scream of having two of them like right there. If you push down one button, you know, they can't be too close. Or it's that ear piercing.
Yeah. Useful when she really needs to get my attention or something, but otherwise probably annoying.
So what are you looking forward to out here? Because have you been to Arizona? You probably have, but when was the last time? And if you haven't, you will be.
Yeah, honestly, we've been through Arizona a few times. Liz has been to the Phoenix area for a couple of events, non-car related events in the past. But I think this is going to be my first time properly spending time in that area. And I'll be kind of curious just to see what it's like. Obviously, with any expo, I'm always looking forward to the track event. And I've been doing my research on the Podium Club in Atessa there to see what that's going to look like.
From what I understand, it's an okay track. It's nice. It's a nice track. Let me not. But it's a newer track. I've never been. Some of the rest of the planning committee is gone, but I have yet to see it in person. So,
yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, I actually did a video on that because it was at the time not quite open yet. So I think I did kind of one of my pandemic videos when I wasn't able to get out and do anything. Was looking at upcoming or planned tracks coming to the States, and that was. There were a couple around Phoenix. I think actually right now, Phoenix area may be like if you wanted to live somewhere in a metro area that was the closest to the most racetracks, I think Phoenix is it right now.
Wow, that's interesting. And I don't really know much about that. I know we have the NASA AZ, and of course we have a Tessa, and then way down we have Indy Motorsports Ranch, which was the original track that was teased at last year's NS Expo. But it's so far. Yep. It's almost 4 hours from the host hotel. I mean, it's just a ridiculous distance.
Yeah, that would be pretty far even for Expo. I mean, we've had some drives to get from the track to the social there before. I think Oregon was like a couple hours away. So was San Francisco to Thunder Hill. But yeah, it's nice when it's closer. I was probably like when Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, that was a nice one because it was
it's like 7 miles.
Road America's right next door to the resort.
Yeah, essentially. So, what do you guys keep coming back to these NS Expos? I was trying to sell it earlier in this podcast episode, but I'm curious from your guys' perspective because I know you're both like track people though too. But you keep coming back.
Yeah, no, I mean it's at this point in time it's a little bit of like a dysfunctional family reunion or something like that.
Exactly.
You see these people, you know, year after year, and you talk to them online, and then it's nice to, you know, also have like you know the new owners that come in that have the enthusiasm as well as the people, you know, the OGs that have been to like more expos than we have, to get to kind of see everybody and catch up and see what everybody's doing and, and at the same time it's just. The ability to come, you know, to congregate around with a bunch of people from really, really diverse walks of life with a common interest. So it doesn't matter. You could be, you know, attorney from New York or, you know, real estate guy from Florida, you know, either coast for that matter. And everybody just kind of shows up and gets along because there's all this common interest and it's great.
Or you could work at a Starbucks and just happen to have an NSX set maybe you got from someone or you paid a little bit of money for not that long or I guess a few years ago. And
oh, yeah. You know. Well, that was me in 2013, right? I was, you know, a 26-year-old that bought a car that was basically a project from the guy that needed to get rid of it for money in the 2008 recession. And you know, I'm showing up to the event. I'm, you know, working my 9 to 5 with this car, and then, you know, now 9 years later, it's a little bit different, but still a lot of the same crowd, which is cool.
Have you missed any during that time? Like, how many does this make for you?
I'm gonna try and count, but I think that's since. So I've been to everyone since 2013 except for 2014. And then Liz and I have been to North Carolina, right? It was Ohio.
No, that was Ohio. 13 was North Carolina.
Yeah.
Or Virginia or something. Virginia International.
Yeah, 13 was technically in Raleigh, but the track was, they did the track event at VIR. And then... Yeah, 14, I was in the middle of moving back and forth across the country, so... We unfortunately weren't able to make it back out to Ohio because we were in Colorado at the time. But then from 15 to current, both Liz and I have been to every expo.
Well, cool, man. Well, we'll see you. I'll see you. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys as always.
Yeah, always fun.
It is always fun. As a part of the planning committee, we're trying to not, you know, run around with our heads cut off. You know, you kind of get to sit back and look at other people and they're just stressed out. And I just refuse to be stressed out. And the things I'm stressed out, no one else would be stressed out about, you know, so.
Yeah, that's kind of, we've just observing several of the things, both from kind of from both sides of the wall, so to speak, and in past expos, it's always kind of, you know, most of the time everything seems to work out, but there's definitely a lot of like, you know, hair on fire happening behind the scenes, it seems. So hopefully you won't have too much of that. Hopefully the plan will survive first contact and we'll be able to have a smooth show from there. But
I guess we'll find out.
Sure the attendees, I'm sure, will have fun regardless. So
what do you think I should do? Do you think I should record during the event at all anywhere? I really haven't thought about setting up to do that. And I might, you know, maybe I could bring some people over to the house. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I should just do a wrap up after the fact, but a little one, because only a small percentage of people who listen to this actually would care.
I don't know. I mean, it could be fun because, I mean, there are some people that show up to these events that actually have some pretty interesting backgrounds, you know, outside of the NSX community that could be, you know, probably entertaining guests. So, I mean, you take it from that angle, I guess, but yeah, I don't know.
You know, maybe I should take the microphones with me and just set up shop in my room. Because I really can't think of anywhere else to do it, because I live like a half hour away from the host hotel, and really the only time would be during Saturday's vendor showcase at Science of Speed, which, you know, there may or may not be plans to sneak away anyway and have a couple pops.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I'll see you then.
Yeah, we'll see you out there.
All right, Rich. Thanks for everything.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Have a good one.
He is Mr. Charles Hicks, 21st Century Car Show, which is up in Prescott.
Correct, Jay. Yeah, we're up in Prescott. And that's just because I'm from Prescott. I was actually born and raised up here. And when I graduated high school, I wanted to get the car scene going a little bit up here because it's pretty quiet. A lot of people think of it as a quiet town, but I see a lot of exotics cruising around and figured, hey, let's get these guys something to do in the afternoon. And it all started when I was at Fry's and I saw a Ferrari sitting in the parking lot and the guy was loading his groceries into his frunk. And I said, how often do you drive it? He's like, just to Fry's and back. And I said, sir, we got to change that.
That's hilarious.
And ever since then, I just wanted to kind of get upper class event, open to everything, model year 2000 and newer, hence the 21st Century Car Show name. That people could bring their cars to, because I saw a lot of special stuff that wasn't getting the spotlight at all. I don't know if it's just a Prescott thing or what it is, but tons of classics, always going to the same shows, always winning the same awards. And I got nothing against them. I respect them. I think they're awesome and they built America without a doubt. But I mean, I got tired of seeing them and I could only drive for 2 years at that point. So I only imagine what everybody else is thinking that's had them around forever. I figured, hey, I want to have a little car show going. Open to 2000 and newer. It was a little bit of backlash, but in hindsight, glad I did it.
Exclusionism, probably. Couple things. So born and raised, how often do you hear Prescott? Because I've only been here 9 years, and it didn't take me too long to catch that it's Prescott, not Prescott. Same thing out here with Tempe versus Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of, because there's a kind of a, it's a little further away, so geographically for people, it's like north, a little kind of west, but more north of the Phoenix area. It's a nice mix, kind of a nice triangle stop if you want to go up to like Sedona and Jerome.
Yeah.
You might as well go through Prescott and then take the 89A up.
Right. That's a drive I see plenty of people doing all the time. And I'm glad I live somewhere so close by, but I've always learned it's Prescott. But then I've had some old timers tell me it's Prescott. And I'm like, sir, I think you're wrong.
It's like Porsche and Porsche, right?
Oh, exactly. Same argument, I think. I'm a Porsche guy, though.
It's
so we'll
Porsche's
see.
Way.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, do you, so when did you start doing this? And, you know, how's it been? And how often is it? You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I graduated high school in 2018, and it was the following July, so just 2 months after I graduated, that we had our first show. It was, like I said, July. We didn't think the weather through too much, so it actually rained halfway through a little show. And it was actually just at the school district's office, because I wanted to give a little something back to the school district that I popped out of, and I thought I popped out okay, because I had a basketball scholarship going to go play up in Oregon, and I was happy with where I was headed, so I wanted to give a little something back.
Nice.
We had a little show up together, probably 35 cars, and I thought we were hot stuff because we had 2001 Ferrari 360 got us off the ground, Bentley Continental, and I was like, wow, this is really coming together. So that was our first kind of go around, and we enjoyed it. People had a good time. We came back the next year, doubled in size, came back the next year, doubled in size again. So it's kind of grown every year since then. And not until a couple years ago, we started introducing different events to accompany our annual show, whether that's a day road rally somewhere like we've done numerous times from Phoenix to Sedona, or from Prescott up to Flag and then down through Oak Creek Canyon to end in Phoenix, stuff like that, just to give the people something to do outside of, you know, the 11 other months of the year, because the show was great. And we started to get some seriously cool cars, even dragging them out of Prescott that I'd never knew existed. And I wanted to give a little something extra. So a couple of years ago, we started branching out a little bit. Some of the rallies are free. Some of our rallies are more upscale events. For example, in November, we'll be running, we'll be departing from North Scottsdale, driving along a route that I can't really tell anybody right now, because not only are we still determining it, but we like to keep it a little bit on the down low, so it's a little more exclusive. We could dodge some traffic and stuff like that. But we'd leave them from North Scottsdale, and we're ending at Topgolf in Scottsdale. We'll give them a couple hours of free play, catered dinner, everything they could want to kind of shoot a Saturday. And I think that's a perfect way to spend the days.
And is that the, what are you calling that? What are you calling that rally, or is it just a
cruise? We're calling that event the Tour to Topgolf. We did it last year, actually. It was the first time we did it. And it was a great turnout. I thought we do keep it very, very exclusive, very low numbers. 50 individuals this year is what we're shooting for. And normally that equates to about 32 cars because it's normally driver passenger. They come out, have a good day. Some people treat it as date night. Other guys treat it just to see how far they can hit a golf ball. So it's fun.
Now, you mentioned, you started this thing and some people didn't really like the fact that you had the cutoff. You know, for the 21st century, what are some of the issues or some of the complaints that you've received?
I've had a lot of pushback from people with original Cobras. And I mean, obviously amazing cars, but sure. A couple of them are up in Prescott. I remember they would come to the show on the day of our shows 2, 3, 4 years ago and say, I got this original Shelby Cobra. And I mean, original real Cobra. That's no joke. And I had to say, sir, I'm so sorry, but I can't let you in the show, because if I let you in the show, then I got to let every other original classic in the show. And we're not 21st century anymore. Then it's like any other car right show. Exactly. Right.
That's some old ass shit. I mean, you're right. 100%. You're beautiful. And I don't know if you're beautiful, but the car is beautiful. And it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I've come from a place where you have these pockets all over the United States. So where there's some car events that are for everyone, there's some that are a little more exclusive, there's some that are very specific, and you get people who love that and you get people who hate that, but there's usually something for someone. I mean, you have the good guys, right? And, you know, I can roll up to the good guys with a, you know, an F8 Ferrari, probably going to get looked at a little sideways because the show's not catered for the car at all.
Right.
And, you know, I can't really get upset about that because you have to have some sort of level of control. So, you know, good for you to stick it to your guns. Yeah. You know, but it can be hard. That's why I don't organize events. I don't do any of that stuff because I just don't need the headache.
It gets a little touchy, especially being young. I mean, at that time I was 18, 19, and I'm telling these men that, I mean, honest to God, I didn't know how a carburetor worked. Like, I don't know much about the car, but here I am telling them they can't come in. So it was a little gutsy, but I'm glad I stuck it out too. And I think people have understood that for the most part. We don't have very many 67 Camaros trying to come in anymore.
Right.
But we do. We are walking a fine line with, say, the Viper, for example. Their models span to that 2000. So I have some 98s, 99s saying, hey, I'd still like to go in. But they can't really come in when they're 2002. It looks exactly the same specs, everything like that. Can come in. So we've tried to work with the Viper guys a little bit, see what we can do, and we try to keep everybody happy.
It's almost like, I mean, you know, how do you draw that line? Because it's the same looking car. I mean, everybody, mm-hmm. everyone loved universally that year Viper GTS, you know, everybody does. Like, that's just mm-hmm. everyone's dream Viper. But mm-hmm. if it looks exactly the same and it crosses that line, I mean, what do you tell people?
Yeah, in the past, we've been kind, because they were members of the Viper Club. We've said, you know, I can't let you in if it's a 99. But if you just register as a 2001 and don't tell me it's a 99,
sure,
I will have no idea that it wouldn't count. And I mean, to this day, we have a couple of nice GTS that religiously attend some of our shows. Do I really know they're newer than 2000? I don't think so, but we're still thankful to have them nonetheless.
Yeah, you're not out there scanning the VIN. I mean, my old NSX is the same thing. It's essentially the exact mm-hmm. same car from mm-hmm. 91 to 05.
Right.
02 to 05 with the fixed lights, but 2000, 2001 pop-ups. Mm-hmm. And then you have everybody, for a while, it was really popular to do the front-end conversion. Like, mine was a 97, but it looks like an 02 to 05.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of one of those things too. Jay, what year is your car? It's a 2002, of course.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's one of those weird things. So how often is this the 21st century show, the main show itself?
The main show, annual show, we typically close the streets of downtown Prescott right around our little courthouse square once a year in June. Typically the second Saturday. And that's when we'll make a big hoopla about it. The city's making a big hoopla about it. Everybody gets excited because it's right on the square. You got restaurants there to go eat at. You got all kinds of people coming over, and we're getting cars out of Sedona, Phoenix, even Vegas sometimes we've had. And it's a good mixture too, because it's not only open to muscle or only open to exotics. It's a good mix of newer JDM stuff compared with your muscle that's always flexing in some sort of Demon or Shelby or Hellcat sort of way.
You don't say.
And then mixed with, I mean, your Huracans that live in Prescott, because it's some of these people's dream cars. So Huracans and Ford GTs and Rolls Royce and stuff like that, all in one place. I think it's pretty cool. So, and we try to keep that pretty annual once a year. We don't really want to replicate it either, because obviously it takes away from the nostalgia of the one timer. So
I feel like the Hellcats and the Demons have kind of gotten away with everything that people hate about Mustang drivers. Kind of the roll to the scene and rev and just like show strength and power and noise. And I like all those cars. I even like Mustangs. But I've always wondered, you know, do you have to sign something when you leave the dealership that says, I will rev, you know, my car at least once or twice when rolling through a parking lot full of people,
right,
so that people can know I'm rolling through. But yeah, there's such a stigma. Get away from that. Yeah, it's funny.
There's such a stigma. And I mean, you want to know, I was in the Hellcat market for a little bit, and I'll be honest, I walked away from it. Number one, because I looked at all the seats and I was like, I can't help but notice I'm sitting in a recliner. Like, they're just massive, massive seats. But I also sat in the C63 AMG, and I was like, now this I can get away with. And I've enjoyed that car ever since, but I do understand the stigma around them. I think they're awesome engineering, you know, for that much power, for that much money. If you want to have fun and you want to rev your engine, it's the way to go, but not for everybody.
Are you in the Arizona AMG club?
I'm not yet, because we only acquired the car about a couple months ago.
We need to get in that club.
I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Josh is, I think he's the president of the club right now. Mm-hmm. Josh Benjamin.
Yeah. We've chit chatted with Josh a little bit here and there.
Yeah, you need to go ahead and join that. I don't know what's involved with it, but I actually just saw him earlier. I had to go pick up some throttle decals from him.
Mm-hmm.
He lives like 5 minutes away from me. But, you know, you guys got to roll together. You got to take care of it, because I know they do a lot of stuff. And
yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll give them a shout. Yeah.
So how can people get a hold of you? Just follow 21st Century Car Show on the gram. If they want to reach out.
Yeah, we're on the gram, 21st Century Car Show. We're still growing the following, obviously. It's a small step for man, but it's a huge step for 21st Century. We're knocking on the door of 800 followers. And I figured that was about typical, because the Prescott folks aren't really on Instagram.
Dude, it's hard
Facebook
to grow.
And Facebook and MySpace is a little more their speed.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you're welcome to follow us on Instagram. We do have a Facebook page. You can Google 21st Century Car Show. We're there as well. The website is 21stcenturycarshow.org.
I'll make sure I check out all of those. When you have another show coming up, I know you think you have the thing coming up in November. If you want to get on and promote it, by all means, you're more than welcome.
We've got the Tour de Top Golf coming up in November. And actually, while we're talking about events in December, we have a show called Exotics at Alpios. That's an exclusively exotic show. And I'll say that so far signed up, we have more Huracan STOs than we do Porsche 911s. And I think that's a good problem to have. I'm looking forward to the turnout.
I feel like, I don't want to paint you in a corner here, but I feel the Huracans, like how do you categorize those cars? Because everyone seems to have one now, but it's not like they're pieces of crap. They're fantastic vehicles, but
they're all over the place.
But they're everywhere. They're like the Gallardo, but better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a ton of them out there. The great cars. I feel like it's almost becoming entry level. I don't want to say that because there's still
it's a very expensive entry level, $100,000 cars,
yeah. But it's like if you're going to go exotic, I feel like that's immediately one of the first options along with R8.
Yeah, that's like the go-to YouTuber's car if you can't get the Aventador that's not a bad thing, but I think you're right because for a while it felt like it was like the 570 McLaren a few years ago.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And now it's the Huracan, which is like a bulletproof badass fucking car. So that's Alpios. Is that the Alpios in Scottsdale or is there one up in Prescott too?
Nope, that's the one down in Scottsdale. And I was just down at their Cars and Coffee early this morning. And I was happy to talk to them. It looks like they are doing just as much planning as I am to make sure that event goes off well. So as an event draws near, because it is still a couple months away, we'll ramp up word about it. And like I said, the turnout so far is exceeding my expectations. So I can only imagine where it's going to go from there.
Sounds good. And if someone wants to register for that, what do they need to do?
You can hop on our website, 21stCenturyCarShow.org, and it's almost littered with pop-ups and the show flyer and this, that, and the other. So
sure,
it's easy to find once you hop on there, and that has all the information about the show, time, date, what kind of cars we're expecting, what's included in entry in the show, free to spectators, and everything like that.
Sounds good, Charles. I appreciate you jumping on the show.
Absolutely, Jay. Thank you for having me.
I want to thank Richard Graves and Charles Hicks for coming by the show. Again, hardparkingpodcast@gmail.com. If this is your first time listening to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe. Don't know what I'm going to do next week. I don't know if you're going to get a NS Expo wrap-up episode. I don't know if I'm going to take my microphones with me and just capture some sound bites, maybe set up in the hotel room, maybe have people come here in the studio since it is here local. So let me know what you guys think I should do. Otherwise, I did have a great conversation with Miss L Victoria Heels and Clutch on Instagram, and that was awesome in itself. So I may play that. I want to thank Wright Honda and Wright Toyota out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Speaking of Wright Honda, Wright Toyota, they are a major sponsor of NS Expo. Thank you so much for stepping up to the plate. They are paying for Friday night's meal, which is going to be fantastic. We have a bunch of things planned. I say we because I took responsibility for the planning of Friday night, and that's why I got a hold of Jane. I said, this is what she does. Going to knock it out of the park. Excited, that's coming up. I missed the Q&A segment. Anyway, 4Wheel Online, Cell Shop Wireless Services. Cell Shop is also a sponsor of NS Expo. Westgate Exotic Cars and Rentals. Patreon business supporter, Cuy Automotive out of Winter Garden, Florida. Pell Construction out of California, Michigan. Big House Small Home Design out of Ashbridge, Virginia. And Traverse City, Michigan. If you're in a position to help the podcast upgrade, join the Patreon for $3 a month. Get access to bonus audio as well as show swag. Mark Stoneman, Captain Crux, Eddie Ramos, Richard Graves, Byron Jones, Bo Jung, Alex Camina, Andrew Bunkley. In fact, Richard Graves is the one who joined us earlier, and Bo Jung is going to be at NS Expo. So looking forward to that. Coming up actually in November, my friend Josh Benjamin, who was in studio from Throttle, by way of Byron Jones, a supporter of the show, reached out and asked me if I wanted to display the car at the upcoming Polo Championships in Scottsdale. That is the Bentley Scottsdale Polo Championships. So that is also coming up November 5th. Can't wait to be there. Not doing advertisement for Adam Carolla, but he will be here in Arizona in Tempe. There's no way in hell I'm going to get him to the studio, but hopefully they'll kind of remind that, hey guy, it's me, the little guy. Told me at Monterey Car Week you were going to come back on the show and do a full-length conversation. Let's do it. Let's get it scheduled. If you want to follow me on Instagram, that's jfinning, J-H-A-E-P-F-E-N-N-I-N-G. Website is coming soon. Finally, 2 years later, I promise you guys, it's going to be hardparkingpod.com. Join the Hard Parking Violations Facebook page and check out the YouTube. I can't grow without telling the world how great this show is. Let's do this. Let's grow this thing together. And I'll be on the podcast next week.
Shut up!
Now it's stripping time.